Like to bring to order the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Efficiency. We're going to start out by opening a public hearing on Senate Bill 558A. Bob, remind us of Senate Bill 558A, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 558A expands the existing foreclosure mediation program to include judicial foreclosures and makes changes to the structure of the mediation program.
Thank you. Committee, as you recall, we had a pretty long public hearing on this bill last week. Seems like a lot longer ago than that. And we ended with, I think, a representative from the trustees and also somebody else, Miss Kelly Harbster, who got their, their testimony cut a little short. So I wanted to make sure I provided that opportunity to extend this public hearing to hear from those groups. And I don't know if, Ms. Howe, if you have anything to add or, okay. Nothing to add. Ms. Harbster, would you like to finish your testimony? Okay. Well, unless the committee wants to bring up any questions for anyone, I'm happy to entertain that as well.
You know my issue's been resolved. Okay. Thank you. Very quickly, Mr. Chair, if I could.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, I'd been working on a potential amendment, but I think through some discussion, that issue's been resolved. So I wanted to share that with the committee members that I've talked with.
Thank you.
Okay. So I guess we'll close the public hearing, which sort of surprises me, but we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 558A and open a work session on Senate Bill 558A.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lively.
I move Senate Bill 558A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves Senate Bill 558A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Seeing no discussion. Samantha, should we have a roll call vote, please?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Penny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
No.
Representative Thatcher?
Excused.
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. Senate Bill 558A, having received the required votes, is moved to the floor. And Representative Lively, would you be so kind to carry that?
I would gratefully do.
Thank you. With that, I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 558A. And I know we have some members that are potentially going to be leaving sometime before the end of perhaps. So we're going to go ahead and move into the rest of the work sessions. So I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 196A. Bob, give us a refresher on Senate Bill 196A, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 196A authorizes the Director of the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department to enter into agreements with private nonprofit organizations to solicit gifts, grants, and donations on behalf of the department. Measure allows the department to provide certain resources without charge or at cost, requires record keeping by the nonprofit organization, and requires an annual report to the Legislative Assembly by the department. The measure has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact, Mr. Chair.
Great. Any questions or discussion from the committee on this?
Just make a comment. I think it's...
Representative Kenny Geyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's great when government can partner with nonprofits to really get out into the community and to add flexibility with how we can conduct our program. So happy to see this kind of partnership.
Thank you. Any other discussion? Representative Lively, could we have a motion?
Certainly. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 196A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves Senate Bill 196A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, Samantha?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Kinney-Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Excused.
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. Senate Bill 196A, having received the required votes, is passed to the floor. And Representative Kinney-Geyer, since you like this bill so much, would you like to carry it?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
And good, that was easy. So Representative Kinney-Geyer will carry Senate Bill 196A. I'll close a work session on Senate Bill 196A and open a work session on Senate Bill 631. Bob, give us a brief description on Senate Bill 631, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 631 defines person operating restaurant or bed and breakfast facility to include a public body, the Oregon Health and Science University, and the Oregon State Bar. The measure has no revenue impact, any minimal fiscal impact, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Lively, a motion on this?
Certainly. Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 631 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Lively moves Senate Bill 631 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Representative Doherty, you like
just
this bill?
When we heard this, and I might be one of the few representatives that has a food handler's card, because I cook in a restaurant, and I was surprised. In fact, I was shocked when I didn't realize that the zoo and OHSU and these other places were not subject to health inspections, because the health inspections, one, are very thorough, two, are very good, and three are very necessary. And I thought of this as I was at the zoo the other night for a fundraiser, and I had dinner. So, but I made sure the chicken was cooked. So anyway, this is a good bill because it just is just a good public safety, good public health. I had my thermometer with it. That's what I wondered.
Great.
Yeah.
Any other discussion before this goes? It's too demented. Seeing none, Samantha, could we have a vote?
Representative Doherty?
Aye.
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative Kinney-Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Thatcher?
Excused.
Representative Vega Peterson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Lively?
Aye.
Vice Chair Richardson?
Aye.
Chair Holby?
Aye. Senate Bill 631, having received required votes, is passed, and I think rather than opting to listen to the sponsor of the bill, I think maybe Representative Doherty could share her story on the floor, so she can carry the bill, Senate Bill 631. And I'll close work session on Senate Bill 631 and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 577A. Bob, give us a brief description of Senate Bill 577A.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Senate Bill 577A expands the definition of service contract for purposes of regulation by the Department of Consumer and Business Services and expands the definition of vehicle protection product for purposes of regulation by the department.
Thank you. And we have two people signed up, Sean Miller and David Osborne.
Chairman, members of the committee, Sean Miller, I'm here today on behalf of the Ancillary Motor Vehicle Ancillary Products Association in support of Senate Bill 577. The bill, as was indicated by the administrator, does look at the definitions of service contract and vehicle protection products and incorporates a more specific, more comprehensive treatment of the service contract industry to recognize certain products. And so with me today, David Osborne, who has worked in this in many states to go through. I will tell you that the bill did pass the Senate. There is a Dash 6 amendment, and we have worked with the Insurance Division since the interim on the bill, and the Dash 6 is amendment. It was a technical amendment that we'll go through as well today, but we are in support of the 577 and the Dash 6. So, Mr. Chair, I will turn it over to David. Go through it. Thanks.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thanks for having me. I'm David Osborne. I serve as Assistant Executive Director to the Motor Vehicle Ancillary Products Association, which I sometimes call MVAPA. MVAPA is a collection of businesses that sell what we call ancillary service contract items. They're a subset of service contracts that are sold with vehicles, but instead of covering the entire vehicle, they'll cover a portion of the vehicle. So I'll give you a couple of examples. Some of our members sell a service contract that covers the tire and the wheel of the car. Some of our members sell a service contract covering the windshield. And for the consumer, this offers the ability to purchase a product that's less expensive than a service contract and really covers the thing that they're most worried about when they purchase the vehicle. So I've had issues with my car before, had tire blowouts, and if that's the thing I'm most worried about, I can get a service contract for that part of the car. Now, this was already permitted under the existing service contract law. Unfortunately, the service contract law was just very vague, and this is true of many states. The vagueness sounds good in some ways, but in other ways, it puts the onus on the business to figure out if their product can be offered in a market before they get there. So sometimes they take all of the energy and the expense to develop the product, and then they come to Oregon, and the insurance department says, this doesn't really fit. We don't really have a home for this. So what this does is just specifies the major products that that really already meet the definition, but this way they can be assured of being able to sell their product here. And the vehicle protection products, another subset of our membership, sell something called vehicle protection products. These include things like LoJack. LoJack is a GPS device that you attach to your car, and if your car is stolen, you can go back and find it. And so what we've done is we've broadened that definition a little bit to include some chemical applications to a car that protect it from things like road debris. So that's about it. What I think the benefit to doing it the way that the insurance department has asked us to do it is to just fit it into existing law. So that's what we did. And the real benefit to that is that we've got all these consumer protections that I think are fantastic that will apply with equal force to these folks who offer these products. So we've got registration requirements. We've got something called financial stability requirements, which may include a bond requirement, CLIP, which is called which is otherwise known as an insurance reimbursement policy, and then lastly, there are plenty of investigatory abilities here that exist for the Division of Insurance and for the Attorney General. Any questions I can resolve for you?
Questions from the committee. Representative Johnson.
I see my senator was the chief co. Is he not participating in your little work group?
Mr. Chair, Representative Johnson, he did sponsor the bill, carried it on the floor, and that was the extent of his participation.
Thank you.
His interest does not follow to the House?
That's okay. Sorry.
We're hoping Representative Johnson would fill in.
And colleagues, just as usual, you will find some other testimony in the OLA system. There is testimony from the Department of Consumer and Business Services.
I see that.
Submitted by the Insurance Division. Yeah. And it appears that they're in the office, in the audience. If you have questions for the division, I'd be happy to. Well, I'm sure they would be happy to come up and answer those. Representative Kentney Geyer, did you have a question?
No, I was just looking for it on the list. I found it.
Did you find it?
Yeah.
So I'll start out with a question. Then I haven't spent a lot of time looking at this piece of legislation, therefore I didn't schedule it for a work session right away. Does this bill in any way limit, in your estimation, any consumer protections of that they currently have in the world of ancillary products for motor vehicles?
Well, these are going into the existing definitions of service contract and vehicle protection providers. So the benefit really is that that those the consumer protections in place and governing service contracts and vehicle protection products are going to apply with equal force to anything that's added under here.
So you're not taking anything out of
certainly
existing?
Certainly not.
Representative Kenny Geyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to ask that question another way, there, one of the DCBS statements here was the expanded definition specifically excludes coverage for repairing damage to or replacing components of interior paint or finish unless the service contract provides the services in connection to a vehicle protection product. So that remains the same as it was before. Again, it's not taking anything away from what was existing.
Right.
Correct?
What we've done is funnel a certain kind of product, which we refer to as appearance care products. There's not a problem with your vehicle, but you may want to get a coverage over the paint on the outside of your vehicle or the upholstery inside your vehicle. What we've done is funneled those, instead of being a service contract offering, we funneled those into the vehicle protection product framework so that if you want to cover that part of a vehicle as a provider, you really need to sell a product along with it, a physical product. So there may be a spray, maybe a kind of paint, but in general, it's not, I don't want to malign part of the industry, but I think it's best for the industry when we have an actual product being applied to those areas of the vehicle instead of just a service contract to cover them.
Mr. Chair, I think the main goal of the bill, again, is to kind of bring that certainty. I think what the insurance division, DCBS, has to do when a product is developed is they bring the product, then they have to, under their existing code, see if it fits in. You know, they have an insurance division code. They have service contracts. They have to try to fit it in where it's best. And although these have fit into this category, this just gives certainty to the industry when they kind of bring these products now. And we did hear from the division that they kind of get about three different products a month, I believe, right now, that they actually have to kind of look at and say, okay, where does this fit under their regulatory framework? We're trying to make that a little more clear for these particular products for the industry, so there's a little less interpretation and a little easier for the industry to know kind of the regulatory framework of the state. So we're not changing it. Some of the questions were, are we taking anything away, consumer protection? Not at all. This absolutely does not do that. I think we're just kind of narrowing down that certainty for these particular products that fall under here now, but again, have to be interpreted.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Not seeing any. I'm sure all of our committee members will take a closer look at this in their spare time.
Yep.
And
Chair, one question.
Oh,
do we need to adopt the -6? Is at some point, is that correct?
We can't do that today. Bring the bill back under a work session, we'll take care of any proposed amendments. So, Representative Kenny Geyer.
One more question, just to make sure this is clear. The bill also broadens the definition of vehicle protection product to include blah blah blah. That is accompanied by a written warranty that will reimburse a consumer as a result of the product's failure. Does that mean if there's not a written warranty, it would not necessarily be covered?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there must be it must be written. I mean, that's the real key.
Okay.
It must be written, and there has to be a warranty. So you can purchase something like Rain-X, which would do some things for your windshield, but that's not a vehicle protection product.
And again, that's similar to how it's been in the past.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I would like to ask the division a question.
Sure.
So thank you very much for your testimony today.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time.
And had I thought of it, I would have given you notice that I was going to ask you a question.
That's okay. Representative Holby, I'm Cece Newell. I'm a policy analyst for the insurance division.
Thank you. I'm just curious if the insurance division receives many complaints from consumers in the world of these types of motor vehicle product agreements?
Representative Holby, members of the committee, in truth, the insurance division does not have oversight over the actions of carrying out the warranty under vehicle protection products or the actions under a service contract. Those fall under the Fair Trade Practices Act and are overseen by the Department of Justice. The products themselves are clearly defined as not being insurance, so you don't have to have an insurance license to sell them, but we have the oversight over the proof of financial responsibility and the elements of the contract being laid out in the contract as they were stated by the legislature so that they're clear for consumers. So that the product, our job really is to make sure the products meet the definition that the legislature outlined, that they have the financial responsibility proof that is needed, and that the contract meets the elements that have to be there in order to have it be sold as a vehicle protection product or a service contract.
And so they're not considered insurance insurance products, but the insurance division has that delegated authority, I suppose, to review these products.
Yes,
is what you're telling me.
Yeah, that's correct. It falls under 646A in the ORS, as opposed to falling in the 700s with the insurance items.
Mm-hmm.
And but we have, I think probably, I don't know the background, but we do have the horses, if you will, to take a look at people's financial standings and mm-hmm. how they work, because we have to do that with insurers all the time
right.
to make sure somebody's there if this company fails to pay your claim.
So that's sort of the nexus for the insurance division to be looking at it, because the expertise they have in that financial responsibility and solvency.
I'm planting that out there, but it isn't.
Guessing.
I wasn't there when it happened.
I'm guessing too.
Don't quote me, please.
Oh, thank you. I was just sort of curious about what the insurance division's role in this was. So that does provide me a little bit of education. Any questions from the committee for the insurance division? Thank you very much for being here. No one else signed up to testify on this particular bill. I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 577A. And committee, that concludes our work by 1:30. And we will adjourn the House Committee on Consumer Protection and Government Efficiency.